The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Boston on the brink. Another Celtics loss, and even they're calling it embarrassing. What the heck is going on in Boston? Plus, LeBron and the Lakers also need a win tonight, or their season is over. Can they make a historic comeback? And if not, what's next? And we are that much closer to the NFL season. More than half the league begins off-season workouts today. And we're asking some of our biggest questions as we get up with you right now. Good morning. That's right. I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny at the Seaport. Joining me this morning, we have Chris Canty to talk some NFL. Alan Hahn is here to get into the hoops, and so are Vince Carter and Brian Windhorst for the basketball. Mike Tannenbaum for the NFL. We have lots to get to, and we begin with the statement of the night in Miami, where the Boston Celtics were in attendance to see if the Heat could go up 3-0 in the series. Midway through the first quarter, Jimmy Butler doing more than scoring. Butler drives, he draws attention, he kicks it wide for Caleb Martin, who hits a three. Butler making plays all over the place. And the Heat can actually play with Butler on the bench, too. Early second, Duncan Robinson drives, goes high off the glass for two. Nice finish from Robinson. 3 minutes later, Heat up 9. Check out the ball movement here, Alan Hahn.
How about the defense, too? If Duncan Robinson can get to the rim easy on your defense has a major problem.
Heat throwing a party at home, and Bam Adebayo once in. 8 minutes to go in the half. Heat up by 9. That's from Robinson to Adebayo with a hammer. Look at that. He was not done, though. He was enjoying dunking the basketball, so less than a minute later.
Oh,
the two-hander.
Somebody scoop up Jaylen. Look out. Oh. Man, he just stumbled.
Those are the only 4 points he had in the second quarter, but boy, were they cool. Later in the quarter, Butler against a familiar foe from game two. That's Grant Williams. Butler gets the bucket and the foul and points at Williams.
That's on
back
you.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Butler's fired up. Heat led by 15 at the half. Allen, they've won 40 straight playoff games when leading by double digits at the half. Spoiler alert, they won this one too. Heat up 14 in the third. Butler goes up on Derek White, gets the bucket and the foul. He hit the free throw. Heat up by 17. A little over a minute later, Max Strus for Adebayo again. Another great dunk. Heat up by 20. It just got worse and worse.
How about somebody pick up the ball? No? We're just going to let him walk into it three?
Not happening. That's Gabe Vincent. He had 29 points.
We need a timeout, Grimes.
Butler's going to pull the timeout celebration that Horford did in game one. Tatum and Brown didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Heat win by 26. They're a game away from the finals. Here is Jaylen Brown on the loss.
I don't even know where to start. It's obvious letdown. I feel like we let our fan base organization down. We let ourselves down. And it was collective. We can point fingers. But in reality, it was just embarrassing.
I just didn't have him ready to play. I should have. Whatever it was, whether it was the starting lineup, whether it was an adjustment, just I have to get them in a better place, ready to play, and that's on me.
So that was pretty ugly. Wendy, you were there in the building last night, so get us started here. What went wrong for Boston?
Boy, that Celtics locker room, Graz, whew, ice cold in the Miami Heat. I got to tell you, this was a combination of things. Whenever you see some sort of event like this happen where there's a huge upset, it's not just one thing. The Celtics defense, particularly year over year, where they were a year ago when they were the second best defensive team in the playoffs, they were so soft in this game. And they've been trending this way the whole postseason. They're 10th amongst playoff teams in defense this year. And boy, did you feel it. They were soft on their switches. They were soft on their closeouts. They let the Miami players sort of make the first move, and it was compounded by the fact that the Heat were feeling great offensively. Their ball was moving. I think they had 12 assists in the first quarter alone. The ball is all over the place. They can't keep up. You add in some momentum, you add in the crowd, and it snowballed very quickly, as significant of a beatdown as I can remember seeing in an NBA playoff game of this caliber.
I mean, a couple of things off that, and I love how Wendy framed it, because soft is definitely how the Celtics looked in this game, which is shocking when you consider that you knew you were – I mean, this was an elimination game, let's be honest, as we know how the NBA is with a 3-0 deficit. But when you're – soft, why are players soft? Because, look, the Boston Celtics as a team, they're not soft. They don't have soft players. But when you play soft, it's because you're not confident. You're not sure. You're hesitant. And I think that's about preparation. It does begin there. And so as we've watched this series unfold, as we have watched the playoffs unfold for the Celtics, who did get this far, but they did so, and as we've talked about along the way, everybody, playing with their food. They messed around with the Hawks. They messed around with the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting beat up against the Heat, like we said would happen, because the Heat are a different animal. But why are they at this place? They're at this place because Ime Udoka got them to the finals last year, and Ime Udoka's absence is why they won't get to the finals this year.
Fascinating. Vince Carter, because, I mean, they still rely on these two star players, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but those guys, you know, they couldn't shoot last night, 12 for 35 combined from the floor. What are you looking at? What are you seeing when you look at those two Celtics stars right now?
And Dan, 1 for 14 from 3, if you want to add that as well. But here's the one thing to me, more so the Boston Celtics in general did not look tied together. And the reality is, okay, every play you're not going to guard your man off the first, sometimes the second dribble. But you can feel confident your back line of defense will be there. It was none of that. So you didn't guard the ball the first or second dribble. And there was no back line of defense. So you can get at the rim at will. And you didn't see rotation. You didn't see any communication. Typically, you see guys pointing, talking, obviously starting with Marcus Smart. None of that happened. It, particularly the midway through the first quarter, watching it from TV, obviously, Wendy, you were there. But it seemed like midway through the first quarter is when the fight was taken away from the Boston Celtics. You know, Jaylen Brown tried to be aggressive early. Jason Tatum, not so aggressive, but, you know, trying to make things happen. And then midway, things just looked different. It looked different on both ends of the floor. You know, just soft offensively as well, meaning driving to the lane, like you said, Ahan, about confidence. Well, driving to the lane, searching for bodies to draw fouls, then to go get a bucket when you needed a bucket. This looked like more of a game four. Oh, we waved the white flag more so than the game three. We need this one to keep our season alive.
It's what Joe Mazzulla said, you remember, in game two about how we competed, then we just let go of the rope. What VC just described there is that mentality. Is things got a little tough, and his team let go of the rope. That's a leadership issue.
But you're telling me Udoka was the reason they got to the finals last year and they're not getting there this year. I've got Vince telling me the Celtics didn't look like they were together in this game. Wendy, I'm watching this series, and it's so ugly. And last night is so bad. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, is Joe Mazzulla definitely going to be the coach of this team next year? Like, how bad is this going to get in Boston?
A couple of days ago, Dan, I would have said absolutely with no question, because you have to understand Brad Stevens' faith and belief in Joe Mazzulla is extremely strong, and he sets the agenda for the organization. There's a reason why he gave him the job in the first place. There's a reason why he promoted him. But when you have a collapse like this, what's happening with the Celtics right now, I'm just going to tell you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because it causes so much pressure and so much urgency to need to fix something that, you know, it sort of distorts reality, and it could affect the way the Celtics look at this offseason. So I can no longer say that I don't think it's possible that they would make a change. I'll just point out a couple of things. One, they've had three coaches in 3 years. And stability is certainly a concern there. And this is just more the fallout of what happened with Ime Udoka. You know, number two, I think you've got to realize that this Celtics team has a history of losing their focus. And Udoka was a guy who really applied a lot of pressure. Mazzulla is the different guy. And the fact that he came out last night and sort of fell all over himself trying to take blame for it, I mean, it was clear he was trying to be the shield for his players. He was actually doing way too much to be the shield for his players, the exact inverse of the way Udoka handled this job. So I definitely think if Mazzulla comes back, you're going to see a mentality switch, if nothing else.
Vince, I'm seeing you're nodding your head there. Like, what I'm thinking is, like, everybody's young, right? Mazzulla's a young coach. Tatum and Brown are young stars. Mm-hmm. Like, is this just a matter of this team learning and growing and needing more time, or do you think that there could be big changes?
That's what I think. I mean, at some point, you know, you have to understand, like, okay, yeah, Udoka was Udoka last year. You know, he's had Popovich, he's had things, you know, all of that stuff. He's, you know, he had a lot of success. So I think it's unfair to try to compare the two because all coaches are different. You know, when you get that head job, you have the way you want to do it, and you find out harshly that it doesn't work. So I feel like as organizations, we're so quick to pull the plug and say, this is his first year with this team trying to establish it. He has to learn. We talk about lack of experience. Well, let's think about some of the great coaches of all time. They had lack of experience at some point, and they had to go through the ebbs and flows of winning and losing and not understanding or taking a different approach. And I think Mazzulla will be better because we've seen in the playoffs alone, him be better, him take accountability for, you know, not calling the timeout or whatever the situation. I think, you know, this summer will be a long summer for him where he can sit back and assess his season and his approach.
Do you see this Boston team as a team that can learn, you know, coach, players, everybody, that can learn from what's going on and be better next year?
Yeah, both guys make great cases, as you know, as Wendy made the case of the fact that are you really going to have four coaches in 4 years?
Right.
Like, are you really going to do that? And then on top of it, what Vince said, too, about sometimes you just got to let things grow and young coach with his players figure it out. Now, the one thing I won't give a pass to on the Celtics side of it is that core is not young. I mean, they are young in age, but not in experience.
True.
Jason Tatum experience. Has been to four Western Conference Finals since 2018. I mean, he's been there. He, by now, he should understand what this whole thing's about. So it starts to question, obviously, the leadership on the player side, which I'm sure we'll get to momentarily. But when we talk about Ime Udoka's impact on this team, now, again, they had reason, they had cause to move on from him, of course. But when we talk about the impact that he had on his team, we can't overlook the fact that they looked like this last year for the first half of the season. There was one point they were, I believe, 18-21. Like they were a poor team to start the season, and he had to tighten his screws and he had to get these guys right. It took him a half a season to get them right. By the time they got to the playoffs, they were a machine, and they were defense first. They were a very good defensive team. By the time they got to the playoffs, they have reverted back to what they were before him. That's the greater concern. So can you ask a coach and his personality, can you make him suddenly go from a nice guy, a player coach, a younger guy who's maybe not as aggressive, to turn him suddenly into a guy that can tighten the screws? Or do you have to find somebody that maybe fits what you need with this group?
It is amazing how quickly it went so bad for Boston. We're going to have a lot more on the Celtics and on this game and series later in the show. But when we come back, another team on the brink of being bounced. Can LeBron and the Lakers make a comeback? One Laker says don't count them out. And you're going to love hearing what Allen has to say in reaction to that. Plus, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets start off-season workouts today. How high can they fly? Will there be a delay on takeoff? How many more airplane metaphors can we get in the show? Find out next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by the new series, A Small Light. Series finale is tonight at 9, 8 Central on National Geographic, and now streaming on Hulu and Disney Plus. Time for your morning wake-up call. The Heat stayed on fire against the Celtics in Game 3. Here's Dave Pasch.
Left-hand dribble, gets into the lane, lob for Bam. Oh, what a play! Bam with a throw down with the right hand. That ball was way above the rim. A shot from Smart from 10 feet is off the mark. Rebound, Vincent pulls up for three in transition. It's good! And the lead is up to 23, the largest of the game for Miami. Timeout Boston, and the Celtics in big, big trouble.
This is the second time since the bubble playoffs that the Heat are up 3-0 on a top two seed. No other team has even done that once over that span. Miami beat the top-seeded Bucks in five games in 2020. You remember all this started this year when Miami took out the top-seeded Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. 20 NFL teams start OTAs today, and because of that, we are going to play a game of NFL more or less on a win. These are based on the win totals given to us by ESPN's Football Power Index. Patrick Mahomes and the defending champion Chiefs projected for 10.7 wins. Chris Canty, will they win more or less?
I'm going more, Groz, and here's the deal. With Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid over the last five seasons, Kansas City has had 12 or more wins in each of those seasons, and they've made it to the AFC Championship game. They've hosted the AFC Championship game in each of those five seasons. Now, the AFC West has improved, but I don't know that the division has caught up that much to affect the win total of the Chiefs in 2023.
Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers with a win total of 7.4, according to FPI. Mike T, you going more or less?
I'm going more. Let's start on the defense side of the ball. Going back to Kenny Clark, guys, they have 8 first-round picks on defense, including this year's Lucas Van Ness. And on the other side of the ball, they added a couple really talented young guys in the second round, and Luke Musgrave and Jaden Reed. I think Jordan Love is going to exceed expectations. Don't sleep on the Packers.
All right, well, former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and the Jets have a projected win total of 9.3. Canty, more or less?
I can't believe I'm saying this, Groz, but more. More. I mean, Aaron Rodgers with that defense, yeah, A-Rod's going to be good for a 3-game bump from their last year's win total. Think about this. The Jets last year, if they would have averaged league average in scoring, just 21 points a game, they would have been 11-6 instead of 7-10. Aaron Rodgers has only been held to under 21 points 12 times over the last 3 years. That's a grand total of 53 games. There's no question that the Jets are going over that.
Well, the early part of the schedule is not going to go easy on them. They have a tough 6-game stretch to start the 2023 season, including a pair of divisional showdowns against the Bills and the Patriots, road matchups against the Broncos and Cowboys, and games against both of last year's Super Bowl participants. So that does look daunting. Mike T, you know that franchise. You know this market. What kind of impact would a slow start have on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets?
Not a good one, guys. And we are not in Green Bay anymore. And look, Aaron Rodgers is all-time great. He's seen it all before, but it's different in New York. And right now there's a honeymoon. He's going to Knicks games. He's going to Rangers games. That's great. If they get off to a slow start, which as you saw with that schedule is entirely possible, it's going to test his patience and it's going to test his demeanor. We know he's sensitive. And I just hope from a Jet perspective, they get off to a good start because the expectations are so high. Everything in New York is times 10. When it's great, it's times 10. But when it's bad, it's catastrophic. And it's something we got to watch carefully.
You played in New York. You agree?
Yeah, New York is a tough market. I mean, it's a fishbowl. Everybody's going to be watching your every move. And with Aaron Rodgers having such a big persona and being a high-profile player and the expectations that are coming with him from Green Bay, there's going to be a heightened degree of scrutiny. But for me, the New York Jets this year, The goal has to be competing for championships.
Yeah.
That has to be what it is. I mean, think about it this way. You're taking a big swing. The commitment to Aaron Rodgers financially, you're talking about $108 million over the next 2 years. It's got to be to win a championship. I don't know how long you're going to be able to keep this core of players together because Joe Douglas is hit on a lot of those draft picks. Guys are coming due. They want to get paid. Quinnen Williams is staying away from OTAs because he wants his money. He's one of the best defensive tackles in all of football. At some point, you have to realize to be able to keep this core of players together is a next to impossible task. That's why the Jets need to have urgency about being able to get this done.
Like, we put up that first six games, they look tough, but the Jets, like, they get Aaron Rodgers so you can win those games, right? I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, there's no question about it, but we said the same thing about the Jets' first half schedule last year.
Yeah, yeah.
We were looking at it the first nine games before the bye week. People were prognosticating, saying that they might go 1-8 or 2-7. They end up going 6-3 over that stretch. And it's because of that defense, Groz. That defense has got to be what wins the day for the Jets. But they just need quarterback play that doesn't lose the game for them. And unfortunately, they didn't get that often enough last year to be able to get into the postseason. Now with Aaron Rodgers, you're guaranteeing yourself competent quarterback play, and you hope that in a handful of games, he can be the difference in terms of you being able to win.
Mike T, you've been clear on what you thought about Rodgers skipping out on the offseason in Green Bay last year. It sounds like he's going to be there in Florham Park this week. What are the benefits of that?
It's huge. And a lot of it's not going to be what we see on the field. It's going to be some of the nuances with the receivers and understanding how they see things from a zone standpoint, or what are the tells of their first couple of opponents and what are their tendencies. You know, they're playing Buffalo. That's going to be a really big game on opening day. Sean McDermott's been there for a while. Aaron Rodgers is going to know what to do. That's never the issue. But can he see it through the same lens as the Garrett Wilsons of the world? That is so important. And I agree with Chris, guys. Defensively, this is a great team, but if there is a vulnerability, it's at left tackle. Dwayne Brown's 38 years old, played in 12 games. Last year, Mekhi Becton didn't play. He's playing one game. So having continuity on that offense is important because left tackle is going to be a big, big question mark.
Exciting times in Florham Park for the Jets. Much more on them. Much more on the NFL later in the show. But right now, we're going to do some NHL playoff highlights. We got the Golden Knights hosting the Stars for Game 2. Middle of the first period, Golden Knights down 1-0, but have a two-man advantage, and they're going to use it. Chandler Stephenson's pass is deflected, and Mark Stone is in front for the rebound, and he scores. Take another look. Stone in the right spot at the right time. Knights tie it at 1. About halfway through the second period, same score. Stars on the power play. The initial shot is saved, but Jason Robertson finds the back of the net on the rebound. Robertson's second straight game with a goal. Stars up 2-1. That's Robertson's fourth goal of the postseason. 2:30 left in the third, same score. Ryan Suter turns it over in his zone, and Jack Eichel finds Jonathan Marchessault for the goal. Marchessault's sixth goal of the postseason. Golden Knights tie it at 2. We go to another overtime and take a listen to what happened.
Played ahead by McNabb. Stone across the line. Has Theodore. Theodore shot. Rebound goal! Vegas wins in overtime!
Stephenson gets his first career playoff OT winner. His seventh goal of the postseason. Golden Knights win 3-2 and take a 2-0 series lead. And we will have game 3 of the Western Conference final for you tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, right here on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Stars hosting the Golden Knights with Vegas up 2-0 after that overtime win on Sunday afternoon. Our coverage begins with The Point at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Coming up on Get Up, the Lakers need a win tonight or their season is over. Is this the last time we'll see LeBron James in a conference final? Talk about that. Next, Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, and away we go.
Miami's starting to blow it open. Pulls up for three in transition. It's gone!
The Miami Heat are trying to send a very clear message.
Miami is absolutely taking the heart of the Boston Celtics.
One win away for the Miami Heat from the NBA Finals.
You know who was watching that game last night? Magic Johnson, and he was on Twitter, saying, in my 44 years of being associated with the NBA, I never thought I'd see a Boston Celtics team, a franchise with 17 championships, quit. I know Celtics fans all over the world must be disgusted and devastated. Those are some harsh words from Magic Johnson. Alan Hahn, the word quit is a really tough one to throw around in pro sports. Do you agree with his usage here?
Especially from Magic Johnson. I mean, a Hall of Famer, a legend, to say something like that. But, you know, he's not the only one. On the Celtics postgame show, Eddie Howe said the same thing. Eddie Howe said he felt like the Celtics quit on their coach, on Joe Mazzulla. And he said, from what he sees, I don't believe the players believe in Joe Mazzulla by the way they're playing. And he, you know, like, so you're getting it not just from Magic. You're getting it from a guy, obviously, who's been around and won with the Celtics, and Eddie House is on their postgame show saying it. It's hard not to think it, obviously, because that was as must win as you could possibly get. Now, of course, they're in legitimate must win mode. But I also feel like, in a way, when you saw those two guys, Tatum and Brown, knock them out in the fourth quarter, I understand it was 93-63. It was a 30-point game. I understand it. Marcus Smart was on the court to start the fourth quarter. There's a thought sometimes that, you know what, we got to wear this. Let's get out there. We'll give it 5 minutes. Whatever it is, you just come out, play the fourth quarter. Why is it Peyton Pritchard and Luke Kornet are basically playing, like, getting some run? That's nice. Good for those guys. But in a way, for them to just say, yeah, I'll sit here on the bench and we'll just wave the white flag, just come in and do something, anything. Just show me at least you are giving an effort. Try to get something out of that fourth quarter. Something that you can carry into the fourth. But instead, they sat on the bench and let it happen.
It was rough. And, Wendy, we talked earlier about the potential impact of this on Joe Mazzulla. You mentioned this is the kind of loss that can kind of make an organization all of a sudden think differently about some of its decisions. So take us through a little bit of what they have going on player-wise with Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, they have to make a pretty significant decision with Jaylen Brown this summer. He's eligible for a contract extension now of over $280 million. We won't really know the full number until the salary cap comes out. But it's going to be a huge, huge number. And Jason Tatum also qualified, although he can't sign it this year. He'd have to sign it next year. And here's the thing. I absolutely think that the Celtics should keep these guys together. But when you are looking at making a $600 million investment in a duo, it is not necessarily a rubber stamp at this point, the way this season has ended and the way last season ended. And you got to make a decision if you're the Celtics. Is this a very good pairing or is this a great pairing? Because I don't know if you can invest $600 million in very good. And Jaylen Brown is highly, highly desired in the market. So I think that it just makes everything be reevaluated by the Celtics. I'm still under the belief that we get to July, Jaylen Brown's going to get that offer. But, man, it's really hard to think that just running it back is the thing to do for Boston at this point.
Vince, what do you think?
Well, I'll say this. The one thing about Jaylen Brown, he's been a huge compliment to Jason Tatum. And the reason I say that is, Tatum struggles early in the playoffs, who was the savior? Who saved the day? Who was playing the best basketball? It was Jason Tatum. So, going back to what Wendy said, I think that's where the tough decision lies, is because, you know, can they get the consistent play from a Jason Tatum? And when they did not get that, you had a Jaylen Brown to rely on. If you move on from him, your next guy you bring in better be reliable in case Jason Tatum is not able to sustain or play, at the high level all the time. And of course, it happens sometimes, but you have the luxury of another guy in a Jaylen Brown can pick up the pieces and play well and get it done as well. So that's going to be, that's where I think all their thoughts should go into that alone, because obviously when they're both not playing well, you see these results here. But you have a luxury that a lot of teams don't have in two great players, superstar players, obviously going to make a lot of money, but can kind of piggyback off each other or pick each other up or pick the other one up when they're not playing well.
Yeah. But I'm curious, though, to Wendy's point, Vince, about the duo being, is it very good or is it championship caliber? Can this be a championship caliber pairing?
Well, I think it could be a championship caliber pairing. You just have to kind of fine tune everything around it, because you have to find pieces that complement your star players. It's always, you can have two star players and they can go out there and shoot all the balls, and I'm not saying that they don't have it this year. I just think they don't have the fight. And as a player, sometimes what that looked like to me in game three is, yes, belief, Han kind of said that, but it's belief in game plan sometimes. We as players sometimes feel that we need to go and do this, and the coaching staff wants to do this, and sometimes it's hard to buy into that. If you can get your team as a coach to buy into your game plan, things then at least you go out there and give a fight and give a puncher's chance, and then you go from there, and the coach is willing to make a in-game adjustment. But that's what it looked like more so to me, because I think they have everything you need to win.
Amazing how quickly we went from the present to the future in terms of the focus for Boston, the way this series has gone, obviously, leading to that. And speaking of teams that are down 3-0, the Los Angeles Lakers are playing game 4 against the Denver Nuggets tonight in the Western Conference Finals. So let's play a little fact or fiction. Alan, fact or fiction, Anthony Davis will have a huge game tonight for the Lakers.
Well, I'm going to say fiction only because what's a huge game? He's averaging 29 and 18 or whatever in the series
pretty,
so far.
Pretty huge.
He gave you 40 and 10, 28 and 14, like 28 and 18. What more could he do at this point? So why I'm saying not a huge game? Because it won't have the impact it needs to have, which is to outplay Nikola Jokic, which he can't do.
Wendy, Jamal Murray will outplay LeBron James tonight. Is that fact or fiction?
I think it's fact. It's not a commentary on LeBron. It's a commentary on how awesome Jamal Murray has been. He's having a historically great series. He just went through a stretch where he scored 53 points in 3 quarters. This level of execution is absolutely amazing, and I don't see why it's going to stop anytime soon.
It has taken Denver to another level, as if they needed it. Vince, the Lakers will win tonight and extend the series. Fact or fiction?
Why do I get this question? That's not right. I'm buying the Denver Nuggets stock. I mean, that's just what it is. I think it's a fiction, and I really think right now the Denver Nuggets believe and can smell blood.
So going with fiction there on Lakers winning tonight, calling for the sweep. Obviously, it's gotten to the point where the Lakers, you guys have been joking for a week. Is this a must-win game? This is a must-win game for the Lakers.
Literally.
As it turns out, if they want to force a Game 5 back in Denver. Here is Lakers' Lonnie Walker on trying to stave off elimination.
It ain't over until it's 4 games, and that's the best part about it. Kings don't look down when they got crowns on their head. You don't want that to fall. So we're not over with, We're a whole bunch of Kings over here. We're ready to eat. We're starving.
What was your reaction? Because there's a lot of metaphors going on there.
The first thing I said was, who said this?
Right. Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. The second one was, is like we were joking about this when we were talking about it in the meeting, is that, well, you said it, Groz. I'll let you share the joke. It's like,
well, kings are not hungry
kings
people. No, they always have plenty
want,
of food.
Right?
So, yeah, by definition.
I understand what he was trying to do there. This is the game of cliches now, the pregame of cliches, because the 0-3 team always has to come with their motivation and their affirmations on why it's not over when the rest of us are telling them, like, we're already asking them the exit interview questions, and they haven't even played game 4 yet. I completely understand it. But, I mean, we know this is over. And, this is a big game tonight on many levels for ESPN. Number one, because This has been a fun series and a great series. And to be honest, I don't want to see it end tonight. But this could be the last time we see LeBron James in a Western Conference final.
Oh, goodness. LeBron James has played in a ton of conference finals. It seems like almost every year of his career. Wendy, do you agree with this notion that this could be his last one?
No, I'm not going to kick dirt on LeBron. I'd rather be way late than going early. And he plays for the Lakers. People want to play for the Lakers. The Lakers have, you know, the resources and the draw to get players. And I think this has actually been a terrific second half of the season for the Lakers. They'll have an opportunity to retrofit or significantly make over the roster. Again, I also don't see a whole lot of juggernauts lining up in the West. I think the West, obviously, I think Denver is maybe the most formidable team, obviously, right now. So I wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
Vince, what do you think about the idea of LeBron being in his last conference final?
This is a 50-50 to me because I think the West is loaded. I think there's a lot of teams in the West that have an opportunity. Anything can happen. I mean, you think the Sacramento Kings, if they keep those guys healthy and together, good things can happen. Well, we don't kick dirt on the Golden State Warriors. Mm. You know, everybody's going to still give them a puncher's chance depending on what happens there. Obviously, Denver once again. Let's talk about Phoenix. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people felt Phoenix had everything, or now they need to, you know, to reload, which a lot of people feel that they will. So it is possible, yes, because it's LeBron James and like you said, the drawing of him and the Lakers. But I just think there's a lot of other teams out there who are chomping at the bit for the opportunity next year as well.
Wendy, what do the Lakers need to do this offseason, assuming this is over or will be over soon? What do they need to do to get back to this point?
Well, they have three really important free agents. Rui Hachimura, who's been a terrific addition to them. D'Angelo Russell, who is important when he plays well but has been inconsistent. They got to make a decision. Are they going to invest there? Because he's going to want a significant contract. A pay cut from where he's at now at $30 million a year. And then Austin Reeves. Now, they have some advantages with Austin Reeves. The rules favor them keeping him. But if they want to go out and chase a major free agent like Kyrie Irving, it's going to require them to say goodbye to a number of these role players that they acquired. So I think the Lakers are in relatively good position, but they're going to have to make some big decisions in the next month about which direction they want to go.
I think he just said Kyrie Irving.
He did.
But we're gonna have to get back to that a little bit later in the show because I found that very interesting. But we've got to go to a break now. We will have game four of the Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and the Lakers tonight at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN and the app. Denver leading the series 3-0. The countdown crew gets it all started at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Coming up on Get Up, a month ago, we were wondering if we'd even see Lamar Jackson on the field this season. And now we are asking if he might be better than he's ever been. We'll discuss that next on Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've got 20 NFL teams starting OTA work this week. That means it's time to play Can He or Can't He with Chris Canty. Chris, can Aaron Rodgers lead the Jets to the Super Bowl?
He absolutely can, Groz. If you look at Aaron Rodgers when he won a Super Bowl in 2010, he had a top five defense supporting him. Guess what? He's going to have the same thing with the New York Jets in Florham Park. He's got a top five defense that's anchored by hopefully re-signed Quinnen Williams. And I'm a Sauce Gardner on the back end. So I think Aaron Rodgers can get it done, especially with the defense that the Jets are bringing to the party, keeping games manageable, low scoring.
How about in Dallas? Can Dak Prescott lead the Cowboys to an NFC East title?
He can't, Groz. Oh. And here's the things that I'm worried about when it comes to Dak Prescott, the turnovers. Dak Prescott has had 35 turnovers across 31 games, including playoffs, the last couple of years. That just ain't going to get it done. And to make matters worse, his offensive coordinator and play caller, Kellen Moore, is now the OC for the L.A. Chargers. That means Mike McCarthy taking on a bigger role in that offense. Stop me if you think that's a great idea for Dallas.
I'm not stopping you. Can Lamar Jackson have his best season yet?
Groz, I'm going to say he can. Think about this. Lamar Jackson in a pro-style offense in Louisville under Bobby Petrino did work. 57 touchdown passes across his last 2 years there in school. I believe in the system that they're going to employ with Todd Monken. But the most important aspect of this is the weaponry that Eric DaCosta went out and got him. Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham Jr., Nelson Aguilar to go along with Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman. Look out for this Ravens offense. Lamar Jackson over the last 3 years, only 31 touchdown passes to wide receivers. For contrast, during that same span, Josh Allen, 72 touchdown passes for wide receivers. Personnel has a big part to play in terms of Lamar's productivity in the passing game. That's going to change this year.
Yeah, that's a lot more. 72.
A lot more.
That. Yeah,
a lot
I didn't, more. I just did the math in my head.
Yeah,
it's more, a lot more. Hey, double, Mike yeah. T, Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league a few years back. So to say he could have his best season yet is a big statement. Do you agree with it?
Without question. And not only is it a lot more when you look at those touchdown passes, just the depth at the wide receiver position. And I love what the Ravens did. We used to use terms like, sometimes you have a need. This was a must. And I love how the Ravens attacked this position. Nelson Aguilar is still a productive veteran receiver. OBJ, guys, if he's healthy, he was the best player on the field the last time he played in the Super Bowl. I know it's different. He's come off of a knee injury. He's a year older, but he can still make plays. Very few can. And Zay Flowers is an explosive slot player that I love from Boston College. So all of a sudden now you're talking about guys like Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman for depth with Mark Andrews. Without question, he can have his best year ever. And having a new offensive coordinator, we can't minimize the fact, guys, that the contract's in the rearview mirror. Now he can get in and learn this new offense, which I think is really important.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, Chris, but I mean, it'll be the first time he's had a different offensive coordinator since he's been in the NFL. I think we've heard a lot of rumblings from inside that building about maybe we could do more in the passing game. We'd like to at least give it a shot than they were doing under Greg Roman. You think that they will and that he can?
Absolutely. I think you have to adjust your style of play based on the personnel that you have around you. And the Ravens have fallen into this offense that has been run-centric featuring the quarterback. I don't think you have to do that with Lamar. I think that's what John Harbaugh felt like their path to victory has been since Lamar became the starting quarterback. But things change, and Lamar's knowledge and football acumen, I have to assume, has grown. Now it's about putting the supporting cast around him so he can have success. But if you look at the Baltimore Ravens, the expectation should be competing for a division title and potentially being in the conversation for the number one seed in the AFC. I think that's how high the ceiling is for this team when you look at the skill position players that they have, but when you also recognize how the Roquan Smith trade transformed that defense. That Ravens team was a tough out down the stretch, even though they were starting Anthony Brown and Tyler Huntley at quarterback. Now, keep this in mind. 6 of the 8 losses that the Baltimore Ravens suffered last year were in one-score games. And half of their losses came with other quarterbacks not named Lamar Jackson. So I just have to assume with the upgrades that they've made on offense, the change in scheme, and their defense continuing to strengthen, that this team is going to have something to say about what the AFC playoff picture is going to look like.
Just what we needed was another strong contender in the AFC, as if we didn't already have.
And they play the Cincinnati Bengals well head-to-head.
They play them tough, and they gave them a hard time in the playoff game. It all turned on that fumble return, that 100-yard fumble return by Sam Hubbard. So exciting times in Baltimore and the AFC. But right now we move to a segment called Greeny Would Insist We Talk About Golf. It's usually Greeny insists we talk about golf, but Greeny's not here. But it was fun yesterday at the PGA Championship. This is club pro Michael Block from California. He is a fan favorite. He's playing on Sunday in one of the last groups. This is him on the par 3 15th hole where he hits it exactly 151 yards. We know he hit it exactly 151 yards because it landed in the hole, even though he didn't know that initially.
It didn't go in, did it?
It in the hole.
No. No. No way. No way.
Rory, did it go in?
Again, this guy's a club pro from California. He finishes the tournament tied for 15th, in large part because of this hole-in-one. You see his club in Mission Viejo, California, watching the hole-in-one, watching their guy play on Sunday in a major championship. Again, finished tied for 15th. That gets him an automatic invite to next year's PGA Championship, putting a one on the scorecard there. Brian Windhorst, that's not something I've ever been able to do, write a one on a scorecard. Yourself, I mean, any thoughts on Michael Block? And this was the most fun part
of the
whole tournament.
They're going to make a movie about this. There's no doubt. They already kind of made a movie about this in Tin Cup when it famously he holes out and Rene Russo says nobody in 5 years will remember who won the U.S. Open, but they'll remember your 12 forever. Guess what? In 5 years, with all due respect to Brooks Koepka, who you didn't even mention, here we are already doing that, nobody's going to remember who won the 2023 PGA, but they're going to remember Michael Block forever. It was an iconic moment, and I'm telling you, I was in the arena yesterday in Miami when he did his post-round interview. There was a lot of grown men who had tears in their eyes when he was talking about that moment and about his son. Classic moment that will be remembered for a long time.
It was incredible. He did an on-course like walk and talk with Scott Van Pelt on Thursday, and he was playing well, obviously. And he said, like, my last career goal is to be the low club professional at the PGA Championship and stand on the 18th green with the champion. And then he went ahead and did it. The whole entire – he had big crowds following him. And then to do this – one of the last holes he played. I mean,
go ahead and have some fun today and think about what actor is going to play him in the movie. Go ahead and have some fun because this will be a movie. Absolutely. It's just a matter of whether it's going to be in theaters or Netflix.
Unbelievable. Just way too much fun at the PGA Championship. Michael Block giving us a weekend, as Wendy said, to remember. When we come back, another Boston Celtics loss has put them on the brink of elimination, and even they are using the word embarrassing. We will tell you why this was a dangerous loss for Boston when we come back on Get Up.